No one comes to you and says, you better step up now. Well, how do you feel about that? No one does that. You're right. We do put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Whether it's, I'm going to be just like my dad, who was amazing, or I don't want to be anything like my dad, he was whatless. You know, you're still going to aim for the same result. But I really do think that there isn't any slack. It's just, boy, you're in or you're out. You know, you're out. You know, you're out.
This is Talking to My Thoughts.
Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, the podcast where we have open, honest and raw conversations about the things that are playing on our minds. And my name's Simon, aka SJ. I'm a father, I'm a video creator, and I'm a business enthusiast.
Hi, my name is Ashley Joseph, aka Ashley J. I'm a presenter, an actor, father, full-time husband.
Hi, I'm Stefan, aka SJP. I'm a trade finance manager by day, husband and father of two all other times, and also a video production manager as well.
Yes, I am Bradley Charles, aka Brad. I'm a dancer, choreographer. I also DJ, full-time dad, as well as a husband. So, yeah, man. Putting the work in.
Husband's on the thing now. There we go.
You can't miss that, bro. All right, cool. So in this podcast, we bring a unique perspective on our inner thoughts by literally pre-recording the things that are on our mind before talking about them amongst the group. Now, we do this because we believe that before you can be open with others, you first have to be open with yourself. So make sure you guys stay updated and follow us on all of our socials at Talking to My Thoughts. Now, today's topic is male pregnancy. It's a bit of a weird one because we're talking about obviously going through that childbirth, the process of pregnancy and how, I guess, men deal with that situation and that scenario. For you guys, we'll do a bit of a word association. What's the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of the word pregnancy?
Baby.
Simple. Yeah.
That's the first thing I think of, you know, just baby or belly. I just see bump.
Yeah, it's like growth, it's new life. Pregnancy is, I suppose, that build up to the baby. You know, it's the kind of the pre-baby, if you want to say.
Wicked. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's a good start. So well, what we'll do, literally, we'll just jump straight into the first voice note. I'll play Ashley's one first, and then we'll just open up the conversation from there. Yeah? Sound good?
Yep. Cool. I think that the society, from the hospital system to just culture, is designed in a way that men are not involved in pregnancy or childbirth. There's no real hands-on advice or handbooks that's really put in your face. It's very much on the side of the woman, which obviously the woman is physically carrying a child, but it makes it very easy for a man to not be involved in that process because it's quite alienating anyway. We already don't know what's going on, in the sense of feeling the kick for the first time or something else like that. So as a man, not being able to have that opportunity to necessarily be welcomed into that, I think is a problem. And from my personal experiences, even going to see the midwife when you're first pregnant, well, when your wife's first pregnant, they don't even ask you anything. They don't ask the man anything, even your own personal family history. And I think that plays a big part into single parent families that end up that way. So I personally think the society really needs to look at what they need to do into really creating that journey of pregnancy together as a partnership. And that's not down or based on whether you're married or engaged or cohabiting or something happened casually. That is just something that should be there, a partnership, a team, and that happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, actually, because the first thing I kind of picked up on when you was talking about that was you were saying that you feel alienated.
Yeah.
You feel alienated, you feel isolated. And obviously, I guess it's something that at some point or another we all experience, because as you said, society kind of focuses or fixates on the woman, which is fair enough because they're going through the physical part of the journey as well. But I think, and this is a disclaimer, I have to say this first because I know there's a lot of women listening. This is not a comparison. Listen, this conversation is not about a comparison. We're not doing that. But we just have to acknowledge that there are certain things that a man also go through. And that's all we're just trying to have a conversation, because as Ashley already said, we do feel in some ways isolated, alienated, and society does, in many, I guess quite rightly, focus most of that energy onto the woman because they have to go through that physical birthing. But there is still an issue, as you addressed, with not acknowledging that there's another person involved in that process. How did you feel when you, obviously you've got your two kids as well, how did you feel about the process? Was it different with the two pregnancies, or how did you kind of, was it the same? How did you feel with both of those situations?
Every woman says this, no two pregnancies are the same, and I guess for each man that experience is not the same, because then you have more knowledge the second time. But the first time, I remember going to the midwife and sitting there, and the missus says, I'm pregnant. And then the midwife's like, okay, congratulations. First of all, there's already preconceived ideas because we look young. So they're thinking, oh, it was just knocking boots and you see it. And I actually questioned it, I'm being honest. And she admitted it. But then she said, okay, I need to ask you some questions. And she just started running questions through. And I remember she said, do you know who the father is? As I was sitting there, and I was like, do you think I've just come here to kick it with my best friend or just for moral support? And funny thing is, I told that in a comedy set when I was doing a show. And it's funny, but the truth of that is depending on certain people's emotional status or their mental well-being, that can just throw them off straight away. That can kick in paranoia. That can kick in even more fear. Because as men already, I know part of that. As soon as your woman says you're pregnant, there's still a part that goes, oh, you know, you start to adjust a certain way. So for me, I didn't know what that meant for my role, if I'm being honest. And by God's grace, our midwife changed. And then we had a midwife that was very much about coaching us to say, this is a partnership, this is teamwork. And that's when I really started looking at that comparison of going, well, depending on the person you meet, you could feel alienated, which then when it comes to giving birth, you may not, as a man, you may just step back and not know what to do. And, you know, I just think the whole pregnancy through, even when you're talking to some of the girls or your mother-in-law's friends, they start busting joke or go, oh, you probably ain't going to know what to do. And all of that starts going through your head as a man. And, you know, you got to think that I had that understanding of knowing that my wife and my child are going into a very difficult situation to give birth. And I'm the only person who can go in the same and come out the same. So there was a lot of pressure of trying to save two lives that you loved. So for me, I do really think that I did feel alienated. And the second time I was kind of like, I don't even want to listen to this midwife, because I had such a good second first midwife, if that makes sense. I was like, I don't need to listen to her, even though she was lovely. But I used to, I got my old midwife on WhatsApp, Jenny. I still WhatsApp her. Like,
Jenny.
What's going on? Yeah, I'll type Jenny, because Jenny made me really know that this is about us together, you know. And okay, we're never going to feel those contractions the same way, but I remember the headbutts and the squeezing from my wife because I was holding her from behind. I still remember all those bits of pain and going through that together. And as a man, if you don't feel that you're part of it, it's very easy, I think, through the hospital, through NHS, to step away. I'm really annoyed that at no point did they ask me my blood type. And I had to make them test my blood type, because I said, if my child at the time when they're born or my wife needs a blood transfusion, the only person you know that's in that room guaranteed is me. So you should know my blood type. And it turns out that me and my wife are the same blood type, and my son. He didn't need anything, but it's just little things like that. And if you're not a hands-on person or you're not feeling empowered, that's a very dangerous situation to be in as a man. And I think we do go through a pregnancy. And I think the difference is for a woman, she's counting up to that day. As a man, we're counting down. Like, from the time we're told, we're like, this is a countdown, and we got to get ourselves ready, because when that day comes, everything needs to be done, you know. But I did feel that way. You know, I still do a bit at times with things.
I resonate with all of that. When you hear my recording, it's pretty similar in regards to some of the stuff, especially in regards to the mental. But you're right about the NHS. You're right. I understand that there's a lot of kind of safeguarding to make sure that the person that's there is definitely the partner, and that they're not being kind of forced into keeping the child and et cetera, et cetera. But I think once you get past that safeguarding step, there needs to be something there where there's support for both people. And yeah, no, I resonate with so much of what you said there, man.
I think it goes without saying, those that have been for a child, there is differences of opinion in terms of the approach and subject to who you have there to support you. I mean, what I think is not wholeheartedly embraced is that they remember that we are both new parents, both of us, you know what I mean? And the support is equally different, but the support should equally be available to both. I mean, for example, when you talk about the NHS, yes, definitely there is a side of that. But I also think even in working life, in day to day, like I never knew, and I'll be very honest with you, when my first child was born, my son, I never knew we were entitled to paternity. I never knew.
No one, little, no one. The little dibby 2 weeks. The little dibby 2 weeks.
Exactly. But it's just having that support, or even if it's from the HR department or something like that, to say we have this in place available for you to support you, and obviously the new position that you're in, because it's a new job for life. And if your working life does suffer in some way, shape, or form, you've got to kind of play the sympathy vote of, oh, I've just had a new baby. It's like, well, no, you've just had a new baby. You've just taken on a whole new responsibility. Let's support you. We can give you 2 weeks. Or if you need holiday, we can try and support you in that sense. I never had any of that conversation at that time. But I can see how from the early doors, some males, young males, or even older males may feel a bit like, okay, I feel like I'm getting pushed out a little bit here. Because I had a similar experience, Ash, with when we had one of our meetings with a midwife. And that conversation, I was actually asked to leave the room. So it, as you're saying, Steph, it's safeguarding thing 100%. But when I got asked to leave the room, I was like, well, we're here to meet the midwife and have a conversation, but you're asking me to leave now. And I had no idea what it was about. Obviously, I asked my wife what it was about. But at the time, and again, we're both sitting there, and I was just like, I don't know how I feel about this, but obviously it's something that happened, so I'm going to go with it and then address it afterwards. But that was a new experience for me that was a little bit uncomfortable at the time, I would say.
But that's something that should be, there should be an education piece before that. So now if you, like, using probably a poor example, but if the mum is going through it during pregnancy, you're doing an ultra scan or you're doing something, one thing that the nurses are not going to do is say something or leave something ambiguous where it's going to put stress on the mum.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You know, they're not going to be looking at the ultrasound going, let me just go speak to someone and come. They're not going to do that. But then when it's the dad, it's okay to say to the dad out of nowhere, not explaining why, yeah, can you leave the room, please? So in that 5 minutes, 1 minute, 30 seconds, doesn't matter how long it is that you have left that room, especially if you're a first-time dad, you are sitting there thinking, what's that about? What's the reason for that? And it's unnecessary anxiety. It's unnecessary fear, especially when you, as that third party individual, have to be strong, not only for yourself, but also for your partner and also for that unborn child. You have to be able to also be the translator who can kind of defend your partner and explain, this is what she means, this is what she wants. You need to have those education pieces first. You can't be sending people out of rooms and not explaining why. And then not being surprised when on the drive home, the partner, the man might slightly be a bit kind of...
A bit of a way.
Yeah, segregated.
The thing is as well is that it's been biologically proven that the man's energy or the father's energy and feelings, that translates to the baby. It goes to the baby. And that can set up for even a distance relationship between you and that child. So those things about those same feelings of anxiety that a woman can feel and it can go to the baby, it can be the same thing for a man. And I think that's another thing that's very important that needs to be taken into this, especially it needs to be taken into account because men don't talk about these things. Like if we weren't doing this podcast right now, we wouldn't be talking about it. I wouldn't have come out of the room and gone, Brad, they've just sent me out the room, yeah, I had to phone you. You know, you wouldn't do that. And even if, so for me, it's even more important that is set up. You go to these birthing centers or child centers, care centers, there's no leaflets there saying, so you're going to be a dad. I don't ever see it. And I think it is a real thing, because I can't say we stress more than women. I think we may stress just as much, but in a different way and about different things.
Through those
9 months.
That's an interesting point, Ash. So even when you was bringing up, like in your voice note, again, going back to that, when you said, okay, this at this stage, the way that men are essentially treated through that process, that's something that can affect them to the point of them leaving and then creating that single parent household. Now, obviously, it can get to that extreme. And I think that, again, it's something that we need to figure out a way to address, because obviously, as you said, it's about creating the journey for both parties. Obviously, the journey may be different because, as I said, the woman's going through more of the physical journey. Absolutely. And the man is going through maybe a bit more of an emotional journey. But it's about supporting both of those journeys at the same time, rather than saying, okay, well, you ain't giving birth, so no one cares about you right now. You just stay to the side and we'll sort this out while you do what you need to do in it. And I think we need to, I don't have the answer, but maybe if there's a way where we can basically find a way to create that journey for both parties, that's another solution that we can have to maybe fixing things like single parent or households.
And I think it is really key as a man during pregnancy to be able to get that ability to be a part of it as much as you can, education wise, but also physically being able to, like, being as all, we've all been there as fathers, seeing the reaction of our partners when they get that first kick. Mm-hmm. And then being able to kind of go over there, put your hand there and feel it and be part of that moment as well. And those, to me, all of those little things are quite key in building that bond.
There was something interesting that Steph was saying about obviously being in a house together and stuff. And even just the fact that if you're not around as much, the baby doesn't hear your voice. The baby doesn't pick up on your personality. You know, and actually when my wife was pregnant with our first child, we actually were living separately because the place we bought, we was renovating. So then we both went back to our family homes. But it was that every night we were still together. Sometimes people do think, okay, we're having a child together, so that means we've got to have this really cool romantic relationship and it's got to be really effective. And unfortunately, obviously we're all lucky, but sometimes things don't work out. So and this is something that me and my wife speak about regularly, that us being parents is an evolution of our relationship. It's not a part of our relationship, you know? And I know we're kind of going past childbirth a bit, but I think it's important to look at it from that and have those open conversations from the time you are pregnant, so you know where you're heading. Because then we know when we're doing our parenting, this beef or whatever we're discussing or might be not agreeing on has nothing to do with our relationship. So it doesn't put an extra toll on our relationship. As soon as you know your missus is pregnant, you're a dad. You know what I mean? She's a mum. So you might as well just start them conversations time you see that clear blue told you yes. You know what I mean?
Other brands are cool.
All right. In it. Cool. With that in mind, all right, let's jump into Stefan's one and then we'll follow up again from there, man.
Men during pregnancy. I'm a man during pregnancy. Third time round, I'm blessed to say that I've got another one on the way, due in October. And even though it's third time round, you know, I've done this already, twice already. And we've had home births, and we've had birthing centres. I'm excited by it. I'm still excited by it all. But then at the same time, still absolutely breaking it. There's no way to kind of explain the kind of juxtaposition of being a man during pregnancy. You have that overwhelming feeling of, I've done something. I've marked my legacy. You know, I've succeeded. But that also that weird sense of protection and wanting to look after your family and look after your tribe. And that's based on so many different things, you know. I'm a firm believer that you need to obviously remain strong for your partner. You know, they're going through that physical process. They don't have time, in my opinion, for your fears and anxieties to be stressing them out and releasing all of those negative toxins into the and hormones into the body during a 9-month pregnancy and then however many hours of labor. But you know, you become that one man support system. You become the coach, the psychiatrist, the bouncer. You have to know the plan. What's the plan? Are we having a home birth? Are we going to a hospital? What's my wife's opinion on drugs and medication? You know, if there's a scenario that something happens where she's not able to make decisions during labor, which happens, God forbid, you know, what would she want me to do? But does she want an epidural? You know, do I save her or do I save the baby? All of these different things, you realize that there's such a big responsibility as a father during the pregnancy and labor process that you've always kind of got to keep in mind. And despite all of those fears and despite all of the fact that you are just a third party vessel throughout the whole thing, nothing changes the fact that it's such a beautiful process. I know that sounds corny, but that moment when you are blessed to be able to hear that first cry and be able to see that the baby is healthy and that everything is well, can't change that for the world, man. Can't change that for the world. It makes all of that holding of the breath moments just fully, fully worth it. Yeah, but there's a lot, despite not physically having to do much, being a man in the pregnancy, there's a lot mentally that you need to make sure you're keeping on top of and make sure that you're kind of at one with yourself with, to be able to make that process for you and your partner as comfortable and as smooth as possible. And yeah, that's the challenge, but it's a beautiful challenge. That's the challenge.
Obviously, we're talking about male pregnancy, and is that even such a thing? Do we get affected by it, or how does it affect us in the scale of it? And I think what a lot of people may not realize, because as men, as Ashley said, we don't really talk about it, there's a lot of mental pressure, even though it's not physical pressure, mental pressure. And it's important because when we're obviously looking at stuff like this, where we're doing a podcast and we're having this open platform, essentially what we're trying to address is mental health. Now, I guess from everybody's experience, including my own, as a man, as you said, you want to be that one man band. You want to be that unit. You have to be the one that's the protector, the bodyguard, the one that's that the support, the emotional support, physical support, the advice, the guidance. You have to do all of that. But what a lot of people may fail to realize is that not only are we're putting that pressure on ourselves, the external world is putting that pressure on us too, because everybody's looking at you as the dad to be like, okay, you're the dad, you've got to man up now, you've got to handle your missus, you've got to handle this pregnancy, you've got to do that. You're holding it down for not only yourself, you're holding it down for your partner, you've got to hold it down for your child. Like, and there's a lot of strain on that. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. And that, again, going back to when we first spoke about what Ashley brought up, is that I think it's important that we address the pressures that are on dads as well. Not to take anything away from what the woman's going through by any means, because there is a lot in that in itself, but just acknowledging the fact that the dads go through a lot too. Some people break and it's like, you know what, it's too much, I'm out. I ain't ready for that.
Sorry to cut you, but
go on. No, go on.
From what you've been saying and what Stefan's pre-record, it for me, it's just dawned on me that there's really no slack for a man. It's either that you're in or you're out, whereas for a woman, You're allowed to be tired some days. You're allowed to just put your foot up. You're allowed to work from home. You know, you're allowed to say, I'm just going to eat whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? You're allowed to do these things. You know, you're allowed to drive without your seatbelt on when you get to a certain size. Do you see that? There's so many things set up that there's boundaries. There's little zones that you can go. Women can push certain ways, and that's great. But as a man, there's not. And that's why I feel like it's you're either in or you're out. You know, no one comes to you and says, you better step up now. Well, how do you feel about that? No one does that. It's just, it's assumed. And you're right. We do put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And I think that may stem in from, obviously, your experience as a child growing up. Whether it's, I'm going to be just like my dad, he was amazing, or I don't want to be anything like my dad, he was whatless. You know, you're still going to aim for the same result. But I really do think that there isn't any slack. It's just, boy, you're in or you're out, you know?
And it's mad because there's scenarios, even if you sit there and go, okay, as a dad, especially we've all got more than one child now. So, you know, it could be a thing where you're like, all right, let me just get myself a little power nap before I jump on this squad cast, or before I finish work, or before I do this, before I go to the shop. And it's like the external world will look at it and see it as, well, why is he resting? When, you know, and his wife and his pregnant wife is up doing X, Y, and Z. So it's like you need to be able to rest to be able to help and support. But if you look after yourself too much, it then comes across as selfish because somebody else is carrying your child. And I think, you know, naturally we've all probably been there, and it's been said as banter where, you know, your wife might say that she's tired, or there might be some sort of comment regarding doing too much or just wanting to rest, and then it's people look at you like, okay, so yeah, that's you then, so you're gonna do that. You know? So it's automatically everything kind of goes to you. Right now, if something breaks in the house, you guys got to go to IKEA. You know, it's you who has to go to IKEA.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. And you putting it together too. And you putting it together.
Do you get what I mean? I'm not going to lie here, because my wife was a laborer, so she puts bare things together in it. So in that sense, I'm glad she can tile. She can plaster. Yes, I'm all right.
We all know if we get serious with it, your wife has all of those skills. While she could be 1 week pregnant, she could be 9 months pregnant. If something was to happen and family members heard that she picked up just a screwdriver, you didn't do enough. And it's, and in a sense, it's that fear, you know, no one, the pregnancies are complete. No one ever knows what's going to happen with pregnancies. You Absolutely. Know, sadly, no one ever knows if they're going to reach full term. And if we're being real, no one ever wants to get that bad news and look back as a man and go, I didn't do enough, you know?
Yeah.
And it's that fear of losing a child. It's that fear of what society will say is you not stepping up where you could have, which is what causes a lot of that mental stress. And there are some people, and it's not to say that they're not strong or anything. It's just there's some people who can't handle that pressure. And for them, it's like, all right, well, you think I'm worthless, or you don't think I'm stepping up enough to what society says, all right, cool, I'm just going to chill.
All good points. I think, just to add to that, I think there's also another way of looking at it as well. And I think it's the way that I did. I think it's the way that Si did, Ash did. Obviously, Steph, we're kind of still early in kind of knowing about family and history and stuff like that. But I also think it's important for us to acknowledge that there is also power in stepping up. You know, there is also a sense of that having that responsibility. It's like going to a job and just kind of doing okay. And then actually someone comes to you and goes, you know what, I'm going to give you this responsibility today, and it's for you to make it what you want to make it. As soon as you acknowledge that, as soon as you turn around and make that conscious decision to say, you know what, this is mine, and I'm going to make the most of it, and I'm going to be responsible, there's a power in that. I give you an example, like the nurseries. It's always a conversation that comes up, the baby room. We'll get the baby room ready. We'll get the baby room ready. It's either going to be paint. It's going to be a new crib. It's going to be, you know, wardrobes or whatever. And there's always that the lady will generally have an idea of what she would like it to be, colors and all sorts and everything else. So for me, generally, I stepped back and went, all right, just let me know what you want me to do. And I'll put up the wardrobe. I'll put up this and I'll put up that. That's fine. But then the moment where you step back, and then you maybe go away or you pass that room again and you look back, the paint's dried and everything's looking, you're like, I did that, you know? Yeah. Like, I did that. You know what I mean? you walk around your house and you went, I put up that bunk bed for the kids. You know, I did that. We bought this. And I remember when we had that experience with this, we went to the park and this. But it's all those memories that we create. And the reason why I say that is because that adds value. It adds the ownership of that gives you purpose. You know what I mean? Mm. And as a dad, knowing the mammoth task that you have in front of you, those that choose to take responsibility for it, you know, the child is your child for life. You know, there's this big task in front of us of raising these children, you know, and they all require different things and different energies outside of what you, your own energy, and outside of your partner and your relationship, outside of that. But just being a dad, looking back at the achievement of that and what you put in and on the early doors is very powerful. Your responsibility is your legacy, as Steph said, you know, that your purpose is power. You know, so once you get hold of that, and once you actually have a belonging, you know, you get so much from it, and it's like being a teacher and seeing, you know, these kids grow up and start developing for themselves and really seeing the fruits of your labor come to fruition. It's powerful, man. It's powerful. So yeah, I commend all guys that do that.
We'll jump into a Q&A section. So I've got a couple of questions I'm going to throw in, and actually one of them I wasn't going to ask, but what I'll probably ask it now anyway, just because both Brad and Stefan kind of brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering where we'll kind of go with it. So the question is, can you build a legacy without building a family?
I think yes, you can. I think yes, you can. But it's the type of legacy you're going to build. Do you want the type of legacy where, you know, because you can build a legacy without a family and your name's on a building.
Mm.
And you may be remembered in that way as the person who created that amazing supermarket or tech firm. But if you want to build a legacy, like for me, my legacy is a legacy for change, you know, because my father was definitely not the father to me that I am to my sons, especially that I have sons. It's even more important. So for me, the legacy isn't necessarily about my name being remembered, or yes, my son has my surname, you know, Ibombe, all this. And it's not that. The legacy is about the legacy for change, and about how I kill a lot of stereotypes that may be around my culture, my heritage and stuff, and it changes. And that legacy, I believe, cannot be built that way. So it depends on the type of legacy you're talking about. You know, if you want a legacy for change, that legacy for change starts at home, whatever it is that you want to do. You know, if you want a legacy that's about, you know, I was the person who invented Starbucks, other things are available before Stefan gets from me. Then you can do that for a family, can't you? You can do that for team. And that's the difference. Do you want a team legacy or a legacy of, that's your family? Family legacy or team legacy, I think, is a thing in my opinion.
I think everyone's got a slightly different understanding of family, obviously, in terms of having mum and dad. Some people were brought up in single homes, some people have lost parents. So they're gonna have a different understanding of what their family would consist of. You know, if you're, some females feel that they can play the mum and the dad role. I haven't personally experienced that, so I don't know. I can't talk too much about that. We weren't growing up, we had both mum and dad equally involved and present. So my ambition is to create that or replicate that in my family, to have myself and my wife with the kids, and that is our family, you know. And I would always want to protect that and secure that with anything that I move into. So if it is about creating a legacy, I would absolutely want them to be involved, you know. Can I create one without the other? For me, I don't know if I would want to. I would want them to infuse. I would want them to one to benefit the other and vice versa. So as she's saying rightly, you know, you can't have the legacy without the family. My take on that, I would want both to fuel each other.
No, I completely agree with both of you.
Can I just say, Bradley renovated my answer. You know what I mean? He put a conservatory on the house. Well, I'm just saying. It's good, it's dope, you know what I mean? But I remember the foundations was me, so Steph, now you got to do the loft conversion.
I'm just going to go flat in the garden for that, you know what? Like, I think when it comes down to legacy, I think if, without going off topic too much, I think your legacy, whether you have a biological family or your family is the network of people that you create through your business or whatever, you're always going to have that family. But I do personally think that there's something about, you know, I could be Richard Branson, I could be Elon Musk, I could be whoever. And it's great that you've created this legacy via your business. But then being able to then, with you and with your partner, be able to create another version of you who can then do what you've done for your generation, for their generation. To me, that's a real legacy, you know. That's where somebody else has been able to make another mark on the world. And to me, that's where it comes down to real legacy. And for me, that's what I'd want. So I personally think there needs to be an element of family to be able to have that.
Did you have doubts about being a good father and potentially prefer not to have a child because you felt like you lacked something within yourself?
Woo! I was certain I wasn't ready. But that is because I sat there and I kind of looked on myself and I was like, am I where I want to be as a man where I can raise kids the way I want to raise kids? But that was more of a personal reflection thing more so than anything else. But it's just one of those things where I think everyone sits there and goes, will you ever really be ready? You know, you're never going to really know. And to be fair, going through it, again, my wife's pregnant right now. I'm going through my third child and there's still things that I'm learning. There's no such thing as being ready. You know, you think you're ready, but you're not. So I'd be surprised if anyone can sit there and find out that they're going to be a father and go, yeah, man.
You'd be surprised, you know.
I got this. I had my first daughter, Nyla Rose. She's seven, and I raised her a certain way. So when I was having my second child, Ava, I was like, all right, cool. So that banged the first time. So I'm going to do this. It's going to work. I'm a G. It'll be fine. Ava run things. Ava is free. Is turning free, but Ava's the one that run things on Nyla. And when it comes down to it, Nyla can be quite, you know, she wants to make sure everyone's okay and she's doing something that everyone, you know, everyone's happy. Ava's like, well, if you don't like it, that's cool. I'm going to go do my thing.
Second child, bro. It's the second child, I'm telling you.
But what I mean by that is that I had that confidence that, okay, I know how to raise a child and I'm going to do exactly the same thing. I'm going to have a duplicate. Simple. But they are their own person. So no matter how much you can sit there and put this, 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 and this, when it comes down to it, there is an element where they are completely onto their own devices. And you just got to understand that. So you can never say you've got it on smash, personally.
I had a lot of doubts, man. I'm not trying to dampen the mood, man. This is a sensitive issue for me, man. I'm not even joking. Basically, on my dad's side, all the men, all his brothers, have all basically flopped as dads, more or less. You know, they've been inconsistent. They're kind of in their children's lives. They've all got children with more than one woman. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I just didn't want that. That's what I didn't want. So the fact of it happening to me I had a crazy fear, like a crazy fear, even though I wasn't really brought up by my dad. He was very much more out of my life than in. And that kind of feeling the whole way through, going, I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm not my dad. Because I could always easily say I'm not my dad because I didn't have the children. But then once that was coming, it's like, oh, I'm not my dad. I'm not my dad. I don't want to be like my dad. I don't want to be my dad. And then I think I went through a whole process. There was a time through the pregnancy that I was trying to prove to the world who hadn't questioned me that I wasn't my dad. So I had to be at every meeting. I had to ask every question. I had to ask questions that I knew the damn answer to. Do you know, like I was overcompensating just to show everyone, look, I know I have the same surname, but I'm not my dad. You know?
Sorry to interject, but has there ever been a part, because I had the same scenario with my dad. I have a good relationship with my dad, but he wasn't there. And I was like, okay, I want to make sure that I have that two-parent family where I can and do stuff that my dad wasn't able to do. But coincidentally, there's still scenarios where I kind of look back now and go, oh, okay, I can actually see why this happened with my dad. Mm. I can understand why they didn't work as co-parenting in certain scenarios because of it in hindsight. So I know you were really fearful of being like your dad, but now that you've been a parent, is there any parts, I know it's a touchy subject, where you can kind of go, this makes a little bit more sense now?
I understand that he wasn't ready to actually be a father, to be an active father. That's what I understand. And I don't have any negativity towards him like that, because if he wasn't him, then I wouldn't be me. And I have to accept that. But the one thing I learned from him is that it doesn't matter whatever you're going through, whether it's your partner, your ex-partner, whatever, you are there. You are there for your child. Even if your child don't want you to be there, you are there. Even if you're rubbish when you're there, it's better to be there and be rubbish than not. Like, I would rather, you know what I mean? I'd rather have a memory of my dad going, of my dad thinking, remember when dad was rubbish when he tried to climb up the tree to get the ball out? And he, do you know what I mean? Rather than, remember when my ball got stuck in the tree and dad wasn't there? You know, so it's a touchy one, but I feel I can talk about it because I don't have that hang up or that fear anymore, because you know, the way my son looks at me, man, is that's a gift every day, especially my eldest. My youngest is, you don't even know he's alive yet. He's still 2 months, you know, he just wants milk and sleep and fresh nappy, which is
he's just trying to balance his head, isn't it?
He's just trying to do that. He's still trying to roll. But for me, that is the important thing for me. And I think a lot of, like, if, truth be told, I wouldn't even have spoken about this if we weren't doing this. And I don't think I've actually spoken to people about it other than my wife, really open and honestly. But I think there's going to be men listening to this feeling that way. And the truth is just think about being the dad that you would have wanted. And that's what I try and do for my sons.
Personally, I think that there's never a right time. In a sense that you, from my understanding, women, and I said, I don't want to speak for anyone, but from my understanding is that they have a preconceived age that they want children. So they have that. It's not something that you're going to affect, or you're going to say, all right, can we decide, you know, do you mind if you kind of meet? Nah, they have an age. Yeah, and it either happens or it doesn't. And in accordance to that is where, you know, they may change that age that they want kids by. So we had a plan to have kids, or have our first one anyway. So it, for me, from then, it was just about learning through the process. And the reason why I say that is that I think sometimes pride does play a big part. We don't want to make mistakes. And we think often that mistakes are failure. But what we don't understand is that if we're falling forwards, we're making progress. You understand what I'm saying? If we're able to fall forwards and learn from the mistakes, if we're able to have a conversation about how that made you feel, if we're able to translate that to maybe someone else that may have gone through a similar situation, then again, that's knowledge being passed on. I'll give you an example. When our first one was born, like the very early doors, the night feeds, for me at the beginning, it wasn't great. And the reason why I say that is because probably for the first maybe week or so, I was sleeping through. I was like, didn't hear baby. And so I was getting that, get up, done. Yep. I was like.
Relate to that.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, what am I doing? I'm messing this up. But in my 100%, I didn't hear him.
Like research and stuff, biologically the man takes longer to adjust to this.
Yeah.
Right.
So even that, so the woman's body clock, when she's waking up pregnant at those times, that's when the baby will more or less want to feed. So she's actually physically going through that. As a man, we're not. So it will take us a week, 2 weeks to adjust. I slept through as well. But my wife didn't nudge me.
You just got told off in the morning.
It's funny, no, because I think that's using that as an example, and I know obviously the subject is men through pregnancy and men through labor, etc. The whole feed aspect is such another interesting subject as it is. Yeah. If your wife is breastfeeding, you can't help with that. But at the same time, there's still you naturally feel obligated that, you know, if she wakes up, I should, you know, if I can, I should really wake up. I should be there as support. And similar to Brad's, it's like I've been there where I've slept through it, and I wake up and hearing, oh yeah, baby woke up three times in the night, and da da, and I'm like, you feel kind of dirty, like, oh, oh okay, you're right, you cool. You know, it's
that
so
shame, boy. But funny you say that, mate. And this actually leads on to the last question. So this is a perfect thing to end on. Do you or have you ever felt emotionally guilty being the man in that situation during pregnancy? Have you ever felt emotionally guilty?
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. And I think it's the work thing, like being working, it drags you, as I said, at the early doors from my first one, I didn't know about the paternity. So I was kind of immediately like, I need to be getting back to work. Obviously I got some more information and I had the 2 weeks. And then after that, I was like, this isn't long enough. You know, there's still things that I'm learning. There's still things that I'm doing. But at the moment I'm like, I got a goal. So you miss out on a lot of the early door things. And as much as Steph's saying, you know, if it's a lot of breastfeeding, you're like, well, I can't really do anything. Or if it's, you know, changing nappies, obviously as soon as you get home, you jump on and you do certain things. I mean, some guys, I jumped in the nappies, the baths, everything. I was just doing it. Some guys I know, they're like, I ain't touching no nappies. That's your decision. But yeah, I think that having that freedom to go, you know, I can go out and come back, or I can go for a jog, I can go gym, I can go and do these things when, you know, the woman is having to deal with these changes to her body, to changes to her hormones, and the normality for her takes a lot longer to start existing. That being said, I will say, and again, I'm just being open and transparent to everyone, I know that I felt a lot more emotional once my son was here, a lot more, like to the point where I was watching certain things and I was starting to well up. And I don't know if, it was not really something that I had addressed at the time. It's not really something that I had gone like, is this normal? It was just something that I was going through as an experience. But I didn't feel guilty for that. And I didn't really know how to approach that. And I never really brought it up in a conversation. It was just my own journey. But I think that that wasn't necessarily a guilt thing, but it definitely was. There are some experiences that the guys specifically go through that maybe the females don't know or may not understand.
I changed role in my 9 to 5 in Jan. And part of that process, obviously you get into a new role, you get promoted, you wanna spend as much hours showing people, yeah, this is the new guy, he's about things. but you also wanna be there for your partner. So then when there's opportunities where you can stay behind after work and have a chat with someone that's helpful for your career, there's that kind of guilty aspect of, yeah, but I know that they're at home right now and they're not in a position where they can really, not handle is probably the wrong word, but is it fair to leave someone who's pregnant or with two kids running up and down? Or if you've got 3 kids who are from the age of 7, 3 years old and a couple of months old, having that one person in the house by themselves trying to juggle all of those things, it's quite easy for the smallest little thing to make you feel a little bit guilty. I think one last one just to touch upon is small stuff such as having to look at if you're both working parents and they're going on maternity leave, it's, you know, and your wife wants to go on the whole 12 months. And then you're sitting there looking at it and going, okay, but you only get paid for the first 6 months and then you get statutory pay for 3 months after that. That guilt of suddenly going, I know you want to do the 12 months, but you might need to do 9, and you know, and having those kind of conversations is still something which, as a man or as the leader of the household or whatever you want to call it, those are difficult conversations which you feel guilty to have, but you kind of sometimes have to have those kind of chats.
I felt incredibly emotionally responsible in that sense, but they're responsible to go, all right, I've got to be there as this dad or the dad about to be during the pregnancy. I've got to be there as the husband, but I've also got to make sure everything's running. And also being self-employed for me, it's like, okay, that's another tricky one, because it's like, oh, you're not booked to go anywhere today, so you can be at home and do this. Well, truth be told, I could be doing a lot of other things to keep everything else running. The same thing you say, money still needs to be coming in. You know, bills need to still be paid. The car needs to be paid for. You want to open that fridge and that food is there. You might fancy a takeaway. While you're on maternity leave, you may want to go on holiday. And that's a big thing for me. One of my small goals is that the family go away twice a year. That's one of my things. And I think it's important because about having that time, but also having that respite in the sense of that the wife ain't going to have to be doing certain things that she would do normally. She can just wake up, go beach, chill with the children, whatever. So I think it is really tricky. Again, as a man, you do feel that. I do feel like I wish I could carry the child for you. But then my wife said to me, if men could get pregnant, we wouldn't have no children. I said, you're right.
If we had the opportunity to, it would be interesting to find out if a lot of women would want us to anyway. But what I mean by that is it's one of those bittersweet things where it's like, yeah, it's physically painful, but at the same time, it's a beautiful thing to be able to do.
Oh, yeah, you know, to grow a life, man.
Yeah, trust me. So if I was a woman, that's one of the things that I'd be like a blessing that my body is something that can do that. So would I then want to kind of give away that magic? I don't know.
I think they'd call us a lot more. Where are you? Who are you with? Where are you going? I told you not to stay with Dwayne. You're in his ass. Pregnant.
All right, cool. All right.
We sign off, Simon. Just so we know, what's your thoughts, man?
Thoughts. See, this is why I didn't want to get into it too tough, because we might be here for a little while still. All right. Well, I guess on that last question, it's more so about, I guess there is guilt. There is 110% guilt, because there's guilt, but then there's pressure at the same time. So you're almost battling yourself, because it's like you're guilty that you can't take on not even the burden, but take on the pressure and the weight of actually physically going through that physical situation. One thing that we haven't quickly touched on actually is we've talked about the process of pregnancy, but we actually haven't talked about the childbirth situation and going through that and what that's like. And I think that's the point where, as a man, arguably you probably feel the most vulnerable you've ever felt, because you have no control at that point.
You
no matter what you've done up to that point, once it gets to that point, you can't do nothing. What can I really do to make this work, make this better? All you can do is pray. From my experience anyway, it's just like, when it gets to that stage, I'm praying, bruv. You have so much anxiety at a point, so much fear, so much pressure, so much guilt. You feel so vulnerable. You realize the strength of a woman, first of all, in that point as well. But then it's just like, you have to just give it to God, man. You just give it at that point. All you can do is give yourself up to God and say, look, I need you right now. Like, I have no control. This is down to you right now, innit? And that's where I feel that for me, I definitely feel guilty. And I feel that the most vulnerable ever in my life, because obviously I've got two kids, and it's like, it's hard, man. It's hard. But again, you can't take away from what a woman goes through. Again, we're not trying to do that at all. But there's still a lot that a man goes through in that same stage, because you're looking at your partner, you're looking at your child, and you're just at that point, you're hoping for the best. And it's hard. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of pressure.
You know, I felt the least vulnerable during childbirth.
Oh, really?
Is that because it's that stage where it is what it is? Is that why? Or what do you think the reason behind that is?
Jenny, our good midwife again, we had some one-on-one sessions with her.
Shout out, Jenny.
Really good. But I just knew that whatever happened, Nicola was the focus. I just knew that. And I guess because of what I do for a living, just being in a physical situation, in a physical environment, I could analyze things a lot more. Whereas I think the 9 months is a lot of guessing. What kind of mood she in? What is she, you know, that whole thing. So I was treading more on extras, whereas this was like, okay, this is about to happen. And we had our plan, we knew our plan, and I just knew, but just by being together, I just knew I had her and she had me. And I just knew that wherever she was, I was there. She got in the birthing pool, I was in the pool. I'm not even joking. You know what I mean? I was the first man to hold both my sons, cut both the umbilical cords. You know, I was about it. It was just basically me and a midwife that delivered the second one. There weren't no big team or two people. So for me, I just felt a lot more, I don't know why, I just felt a lot more safe. There was prayer, but I just felt like I know what I'm supposed to do here. And I think that was good because especially if my first son, Leo, then it just was a nice transition into going, all right, yeah, I got this. I can be a dad from that whole 9 months of the fear, you know? So it came full circle for me, really, to be honest.
So thank you so much, guys, for sending in those questions. Please do keep sending them in and we'll try and address them as much as we can on our socials. Obviously, this platform isn't just about us talking to you. It's about you guys getting involved as well. So continue to ask questions, continue the conversation, open up to us about your views and your experiences as well. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please like, please share. Remember to follow us to stay up to date with all of our new content. And thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Brads. Thank you, Ash. Thank you, Stefan. And we'll see you guys soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. No problem.